5:17. If anybody is in Christ, they are a new creation. So what does that mean, to be a new creation? How do we go from being a tadpole to a bullfrog? I don't know that I want to be a bullfrog. Let's talk about butterflies, all right? Yeah. What happens with a butterfly? Here, and I'm going to read this because it's too scientific for me and I couldn't remember it anyway.
I remember.
To help us understand what it means to be a new creation in Christ, let us consider the butterfly. The butterfly has four life stages: eggs, caterpillar, chrysalis, and butterfly. The eggs hatch in 4 to 6 days, and the tiny worm emerges. The caterpillar stage is called the feeding stage because the caterpillar has one job, and that is to eat plants. I can relate to that. When the caterpillar is full grown, which takes 2 to 6 weeks, it stops eating and forms a chrysalis, a shell-like cocoon. This stage can take from 1 week to 2 years, depending on the species. Inside the chrysalis, the caterpillar decomposes and the cells come together again to form a butterfly. Once formed, the adult butterfly breaks out of the chrysalis and waits for its wings to dry before flying. The adult butterfly lives 2 to 3 weeks and lives off nectar from flowers. It lays the eggs that completes the life cycle. How can we become a butterfly? And do you see yourself as a butterfly this morning? And how does God see you? Don't we have a great God?
In our heart.
A God who can take a worm and make it into a butterfly. A God who can create the wonder and the beauty of nature and the world in which we live. The gift of all that God has given to us. What an awesome God we have. The God of all creation. And he calls us to be his children. And we can choose to be a child of God, or we can be the worm. We can choose to be a bullfrog or the tadpole. We can choose to be the person that we are, or we can be the person God wants us to be. God gives us that choice. In the scriptures, we read about this new body and how it works in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 through 44. 1 Corinthians 15. 35 through 44. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body will they become? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh. Animals have another. Birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And stars differ from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And then down to verse 50. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. We're going to become a new person. Our resurrected bodies are going to be very different than what we are today. So what are we doing between now and the time that we have this new body, that we're transformed into the spiritual being before God? This scripture reading said that our natural body is going to perish. This flesh and blood is going to become dust and ashes. Everybody's does. But that's not the end of us. That's not who we really are. There is a difference between our earthly body and our heavenly body. The earthly body is corrupt and will return to the earth. But my spiritual body is perfect and will pass through walls. No more diseases, no more physical issues, a perfect body, a butterfly. We are going to become a butterfly. We're going to be transformed. So what does that have to do with us today? Because one of my concerns is sometimes we get so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. And yeah, we all know what's going to come. Heaven is awaiting us, and we look forward to that, and we celebrate that. But how does that help me today? And what is God doing today? Well, I would share with you that today we are in that chrysalis stage of the butterfly. If you have made the decision to become a child of God, God is transforming you and working in your life to make you into a spiritual being. But there's more to it than that. There's a whole lot more that God is doing. If God can take that thing right there and make it into a bullfrog, what can God do with your life? How can God make you into a person that would serve him, that would celebrate him, that could be used by the God of the universe as an instrument of his peace, as an instrument of his love? How can you become the light of the world? By transforming. Amen. Let's go home. You want to preach? No, I'm sorry. I'm afraid he would have said yes and jumped right up here. God has made a way for us to live the life he created us to live. You see, we aren't living that life. A person without Christ is not living the life that God created us to live. We're lost in our sins. We have that old nature in us. But God says he wants more for us than that. And the only way that we can have that life is through what he has done for us through Jesus Christ. Because of his death on the cross, he paid the penalty for our sins so that we might have a relationship with the living God. And that's the beginning. That's when you enter into that chrysalis stage. That's when you become or are becoming the child of God. And remember, when Christ enters into your life, he doesn't change your heart. He gives you a new heart. It's a new creation. We become a new creation in Jesus Christ. And there's a battle going on. Our old nature is battling with our new nature. The old nature doesn't go away when Christ enters into your life. So we have this conflict within us all the time. And we can feed the new nature or we can feed the old nature. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. You've heard the story about the old Indian chief about how do you know whether you're going to do good or evil? And he says it's like you've got two dogs, a black dog and a white dog. And they say, well, which one's going to win? And the old Indian said, whichever one you feed. And you can feed your old nature if you want, or you can feed your new nature that God has implanted within you. That spark, that heavenly spark inside of us that makes us, that he is creating a new creature. God has made a way for us to live the life he created for us to live. When Jesus prayed that we would experience the power of the resurrection in our lives, the Spirit of the living Lord enters into our lives and we become a new creature in Christ. You become a new creature in Christ the moment you receive Christ into your life. Something different is happening. God is changing you. He is creating you. Some of us sometimes may feel like that worm before we become a butterfly. We may feel like we're worthless and no good and nobody cares and nothing we do is worth anything. And we can feel like a worm, but that's not the way God sees us. Because the moment that you receive Christ into your life, our lives are hidden with Christ. And when God looks at you, he sees Jesus Christ. He doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see that worm. And he loves you just as he loves his son, Jesus Christ. And his love makes us worthy, makes us valuable, makes us something different than what we feel at times in this world. When you make that decision to let God be in charge of your life, you become a part of the body of Christ, the church. When Christ enters into your life, then you're joined together with all of the other believers. And don't get hung up on labels. There are some Baptists who are Christians. There are some Presbyterians who are Christians. And there are a few Catholics that are Christians. And I'm not sure about Episcopalians, it doesn't matter the label that you have. What God looks at is the heart. God is looking at what's inside of you. God is looking at how you live in response to him. We're gonna talk tomorrow night. We're gonna talk about the power to be a child of God. And then Tuesday night, we're gonna talk about how faith alone won't save you. Faith alone won't save you. I'm not going to go there. Mm-hmm. First revival I ever preached was in Port Royal at Little Baptist Church there in Port Royal. And I had planned five different sermons. I mean, it was a week-long revival. And I preached all five sermons the first night. And it was... I loaded them up on that first night and I just dumped the whole thing on them. And I have to be careful not to go ahead of myself. So I want to stick to the whole part of being transformed today. But there's a whole lot more to it than the concept of being changed from a tadpole into a bullfrog, from a worm into a butterfly. There's a whole lot involved with that God is doing. And we'll be looking at different aspects of it each night. Another thing happens that we're not quite as good at, we become sons and daughters of God. Becoming a part of the body of Christ is one piece of it. And we have the fellowship of believers. And when we gather together for worship, to worship God, that's encouraging. And we worship God. And then we meet together for a Bible study and we have groups of fellowship together. And that's another part. But real discipleship takes place when we make a commitment of our lives to be the person God wants us to be. And when you make that commitment, you take a step of faith that goes beyond just coming together once a week and having a good time and fellowshipping together and sharing together with a group and Bible study even. But when you make the commitment that you're going to be like Christ and allow God to change you, and sometimes when God changes you, he used what I've heard called redemptive suffering. Redemptive suffering. And that's when things are taken from you that you're holding on to. Things that you feel like you have to have in your life. Things that you put your hope in. And sometimes God takes it away and it's painful. But that's the only way that we can rely and trust on God and God alone. Because you see, everything in this world is going away. All of it is. And all that we've got at the end of the day is God. But that's where we have our real joy. That's where we have our real purpose. And that's where we find real meaning, is in that relationship with the living God and what he has done for us through Jesus Christ. Discipleship is where the real transformation takes place in our lives. It's a level of commitment that few people take. Discipleship requires a commitment and dedication to being the person that God wants you to be. It's saying, God, I'm no longer going to do it my way. I'm going to do it your way. God, I'm no longer want to be in control. And we like to be in control. We like to have it our way. But when we say to God, God, I realize that if I try to do it, I'm going to blow it. But if God is in control, then he can use us as instruments of his hope, his love, and his peace. Today we gather to celebrate what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Today we gather in this place to say, yeah, we know that God created us. We know that Jesus died on the cross for us. We know that Jesus rose from the dead, and we have that hope of eternal life. But are we willing to make that next step? Are we willing to say, God, I know all those things in my head, but are we willing to say in our hearts, God, I surrender all. I surrender who I am. I surrender what I want. I surrender my desires. And I want to replace them with your desires. You see, when Jesus came, when God sent his son, he gave us the right to become a child of God. And becoming a child of God is a process. It's the process of replacing our desires with God's desires. It's the transformation of our minds. Remember, that was the sermon 3 or 4 weeks ago. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Believing the truth of what God has done in your life. And when you believe that, it transforms you. When you begin to believe what God has done, then God can take your life and make something beautiful out of it. When you start doing those little things that God wants you to do to become the person that God wants you to be, that's when true discipleship takes place. Becoming like Christ, in John chapter 1, he said to those whoever he gave the right to become children of God, it describes the process. You have the privilege of being a child of God. And then the scriptures talk about babes in Christ and being mature in Christ. And we start off as infants that need the pure milk of the word. But God intends for us to grow up spiritually. God intends for us to seek deeper understandings of what it means to be his child. God intends for us to surrender more and more of our lives to him. But you see, we like to hold on. Now, if you're like me, you give it to God, and then you take it back and say, God, you might need some help with that one. Let me give you a little help with doing that in my life. When it's a whole lot easier to let God be God. And stop trying to control and be in charge of everything that you do yourself. It is a process that God uses to bring us closer into the image of his son, Jesus the Christ. So yeah, we believe, we know who God is. We see his glory around us all over the place. And we know that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. We've heard that all our lives. I mean, we come in here and worship and praise God and thank him for what he's done. We celebrate Easter and the resurrection and that sense of hope. And boy, it certainly is handy to have that when you lose a loved one. Because then you have a sense of hope that can get you through the grief. But what if there's more to being a child of God than just knowing it up here? What if we've made the commitment to turn everything we have over to the living God and say, God, here am I. Use me. God, here am I. Send me. And I may have told you folks, one of the things that spoke to me when I was struggling with being what God was calling me to be and to do. And I fought the call to ministry for years. But there's a scripture in the Old Testament where God spoke through a donkey. And if God can speak through a donkey, God can speak through me. Because you see, it's not about me. It's about God's message. It's about the God who created us. And God can take anybody and use them for his glory if we would surrender to him. If we would submit to him and allow him, his power, to work through us. And then we become the light of the world. So what's your thought today? Are you the caterpillar crawling around on the ground, eating all the time? Were you only concerned about what we could get? And that's our whole focus of life, is getting and having things and taking care of our own needs. Or have you entered into that phase, into that commitment where God can change you and make you into a light in the world, where you can become like Jesus Christ, where he molds you into a new creation. And it's a process. It starts the moment you say, God, I believe you. Take my life and use me. And then for the rest of your life, God transforms you. And then one day, we break out of that chrysalis and we enter into heaven and we become a whole new creature. Let's pray again. Father God, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you have done. And Lord, as we share together in your word today, as we think about what you have done for us, Lord, we acknowledge our dependence upon you. And we just pray, Father, that you would take us and use us to your kingdom's glory. Now, Lord, speak to each one of us right where we are and take us to where we need to be through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.